The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good always to be with you on your Sunday. I hope today finds you having a great day. It is wonderful having the temperatures that are warmed up from what we've had this past week. I tell you what, it has been extremely cold outside. We have had winter a full frontal between the snow and the cold, and I'm beginning to wonder, as they call it, should it be changed from November to Novemberary or something like that. It's been very very cold. But again, we just want to thank you so much for participating with us today and just tuning us in. Maybe today you're traveling down the highway. We just want to thank you for listening. This is a radio podcast that we just send out every week, and just for stuff for information, also to inspiration as we do our teaching series. But just thank you for listening today. Maybe you're on your way to church. Again, thank you. I know your time as you're headed there is a special time, and just thank you for listening. Or maybe this is you're sitting home and this is your church, and I just want to thank you so much for being a part of Vital Ministries and allowing this to be part of your Sunday. We just want to bring you a few special announcements just to remember as we go forward. Again, we have Vital Ministries for Vital Men. We have it at five different locations. You can get on our Vital Ministries website and see that. Check out the nearest location to you. Just a great time as men. We've been studying the book of 1 and 2 Kings as we've been studying this on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. But it just, again, it's learning about followership and what it means to be a leader. And also, too, we send out devotional 6 days a week for both men and women. We have five different writers that write intensely, do a great job of getting inspiration, I think, on a daily basis for something of a nugget for you, for both men and women. My wife also writes on the women's side, so just a great opportunity for you to get plugged in and go deeper in what the Lord has for you in each day in our very busy lives, so we can take time to set those moments apart. But today we're continuing our series on followership, looking at the lives of both Elijah and Elisha. Elijah is the confrontational leader, willing to take issues and even his enemies head on. A man with a bullseye on his back, he stood up against the wicked King Ahab and his notorious wife Jezebel. Yet Elisha, he's a different kind of leader. We'll see things as we get ready to study his life in the weeks ahead. He's more gracious. He has more of a quiet ministry like Jesus himself. Yet both men see the miraculous. Being obedient is the key to both of their ministries. And we will see that as we continue our teaching series on followership. But our subject title today is this: Facing the Enemy Head On. I like that kind of strategy. That's probably why I'm so impacted with men like Elijah, John the Baptist, and Joshua, men who were not afraid of confrontation, men who, as they would say, would take the bull by the horns and deal with issues and did not run from confrontation. In my own life of being both full-time construction and in full-time ministry, I faced the enemy and his demonic forces many times. It's only by God's grace and the Holy Spirit's power have I been able to stand in those torrent waters. And again, I want to tell you, no person can stand against the enemy himself and the demonic forces without the power, again, of the Holy Spirit. Much like Elijah, I've asked myself, do I have a bullseye on my back as well, a target in which the enemy hurls his arrows or his shots to hit something of an area that he might get through. I'm sure many of you listening today can understand what I'm saying. You probably think at times in your own life, is there a target on the back of my back itself? But facing the enemy head on isn't easy. It always brings conflict and perseverance to stand. Even in my own denomination, the RCA, I'm commissioned as an evangelist, in which it's uncharted territory for them. This past week, we had a vital gathering. I spoke on the filling of the Holy Spirit. We had great food fellowship, and the music was incredible. And again, we're having that again. We do that every other month, and our next venue on that will be in the second week of January. You don't want to miss that. We had a wonderful time, and we were really full and really packed, but we have more room for more folks, but it's just a great time. And I had a few folks come up to me and say this, Mike, you should start a church. And I immediately deflected the moment, deferred it to a way he says, I'm not called to do a church, but I am doing exactly what the Lord wants me to be and to do in my region, is to be an evangelist and be willing to go against the tide of religion and to stand in the call of my life. Elijah is standing in his call to confront an enemy, to bring revival back to a nation who has fallen to pagan gods and to false religion. The prophet makes one more stand in 2 Kings, and we're going to see that this morning in chapter 1. So if you want to get your Bibles ready, we're going to be headed very soon to 2 Kings chapter 1 against King Ahab's son, who is now king since Ahab died and prophesied by Elijah himself in the manner in which he would be killed. But let's get started this morning as we look at these two men, Elijah and King Ahaziah. They meet face to face, and we'll see how God judges sin, not only in that day, but how it definitely corresponds with us even today. So if you're home and you're writing down things and you're wanting to see exactly where we're headed, by our first point today is this, the sin of idolatry. And we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 this morning. If you got your Bibles with you, that's great. Open them up. If you're headed down the highway, we will do our best to make it clear and make it in such a way that it has what I would say not only application of what it was back in the day of Elijah, but how does it apply for us today? And I think that's always the key as we look at God's word and God's truth, how it does apply, not only in times of ancient times, but how it applies for today in the time of our culture and how we could be inspired about what God's word actually says to us. But let's begin this morning with verse 1, and I will be reading out of the NLT today, and it says this, after King Ahab's death, the land of Moab rebelled against Israel. One day, Israel's new king, Ahaziah, fell through a lattice work of an upper room at his palace in Samaria, and he was seriously injured. So he sent messengers to the temple of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether he would recover. But the angel of the Lord told Elijah, who was from Tishbe, go and confront the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, is there no god in Israel? Why are you going to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether the king will recover? Now therefore, this is what the Lord says, you will never leave the bed, and you are lying on, and you will surely die. So Elijah went to deliver the message. Now let's kind of set this up a little bit this morning so we can get a better understanding exactly what's going on. But King Ahab is now dead, and yet Jezebel, his wife, lives with her son, King Ahaziah. And is now this young man is now on the throne, but he has this tragic accident. He's seriously injured. He's fallen from some lattice work and now is bedridden in his palace of Samaria. He's as wicked as his father, and he thinks just like most men who are full of themselves. But see, he's a ruler of Israel, but never turns his eyes to the Lord. And we'll see how wicked men rule, and God will always overrule over them in their wickedness. King Ahaziah worships other gods. Even in the injury, he doesn't turn to God. He turns to Beelzebub, which means Baal is prince. But in the Jewish tradition, Beelzebub means this, Lord of the dung, Lord of the flies. And you can see the translation and the things that go against that very words of what was being spoken. See, King Ahaziah sends a message to Ekron. Sends one of his messengers to travel a 40-mile track journey to discuss to the Baal prophets to see if he would recover. He's learned nothing from his father, and he continues in his own sin of idolatry. In my mind, I'm asking, why didn't he turn to God? He knows the difference. He also knows the miracles that Elijah did, yet he continues his demise of hard-heartedness with no faith of no real God. He's in full-fledged idolatry. But today, people will turn to mystics, karma, their own truth, in order to find hope in their lostness. Even today, famous people have created their own gods and even their own religions. And you can see that as we look in the media, we see in the bookstores and all those things of how they've created their own gods in order to find hope and peace. And yet they fall to their own failures of their own religion. I love it when God gets a hold of people and who in my mind are considered famous, and they come to know Christ. Most recently, Kanye West, a famous rapper, is now on fire for Christ, a man willing to turn from his own idolatry and become a follower of Christ. I love that. It just shows how God gets a hold of people and can make changes. But King Uzziah, he goes after other gods, and God lets Elijah know by sending one of his angels. God tells the angel, go find Elijah. Have him confront the king by asking him, Is there really no other God in Israel? God tells the angel to say these words, tell Uzziah he will never leave his bed and that he will surely die in his own bed itself. Now Elijah, now he's set up with another confrontation. He goes to deliver the message from God and to the king. Notice the change in Elijah. You can see some things that are definitely different in the way he is, his posture, the way he walks. He's no longer concerned about his own welfare. He dealt with the family before, and he had them and had moments of failure, as we've seen with King Ahab's wife Jezebel. But no, there's no running shoes on Elijah today. He walks confidently in the Lord's calling. He has direction. He has clarity. And an angel has spoken to him. He's literally what I would say, he's on a mission from God. And it's so important for today as men and women in Jesus Christ. Folks, it's important for us to walk confidently in who we are in the Lord, that we are truly sons and daughters of the living God. And God has given us a message, the gospel message, to go out and speak against idolatry itself, that there's only one true God. And that's so important, not only as it was back in the day of Elijah, but it ever more is important as we look at today in the 21st century, to be willing to be men and women in Christ, knowing who they are, and that we walk in such a way, not in a way that's uplifting, that makes ourselves prideful, but that's not what I'm saying, but walk in such a way of confidence and knowing who we are in Christ. That's essential, and I think it helps us as we deal with other people. It helps us in our homes, as we lead in our homes and with our families. It helps us as we in the workplace, and it helps us in our everyday, ordinary lives as we're out in public. It's been interesting, as you see different people who walk, a man and a woman who are confident who they are in Christ. You can just tell by the way they walk, eyes lifted up, eyes knowing who they are. And I just love that about people. But this brings us to our next point. Point number two is the sin of pride. And I want to show you that this morning as we continue in 2 Kings, starting with verse 5. It says this, when the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, why have you returned so soon? They replied, a man came up to us and told us to go back to the king and give him this message. This is what the Lord says, is there no God in Israel? Why are you sending men to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether he will recover? Therefore, because you have done this, you will never leave your bed you are lying on, and you will surely die. What sort of man was he like? The king demanded. What did he look like? They replied, he was a hairy man. He wore a leather belt around his waist. Elijah from Tishbe, the king explained. Then he sent an army with 50 soldiers to arrest him. They found him sitting on top of a hill, and the captain said to him, man of God, the king has commanded you to come down and come with us. But Elijah replied to the captain, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy you and your 50 men. Then the fire fell from heaven, and that killed them all. So the king sent another captain with another 50 men, and the captain said to him, man of God, the king demands that you come down at once. Elijah replied, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven, destroy you and your 50 men. And again, the fire of God fell from the heavens and killed them all. Now, for some reason, the king's messengers don't recognize Elijah and who he is. They stop their journey to Ekron to do an about-face as they meet up with Elijah. And they return back to Samaria with this message. You will never leave your bed, and you will surely die. Now, I find that significant. They didn't make it all the way to Ekron. They see the man of God. The man of God gives them a prophetic word and lets them know, hey, you tell King Uzziah, this is what is going to happen to his life. But see, King Uzziah wants to know, who is this guy? What does he look like? So they give a description of Elijah's appearance. He's a hairy man with a hairy garment, probably one from a camel's hide. And by the way, he had a leather belt around his waist. They describe a poor man who is rich in faith, much like John the Baptist, as we see the description that is written so fluently about him as well in Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. King Uzziah is told that to make ready for your plans of your life is about to be gone and get things in order. You would think Uzziah would come to a place of repentance, but when you see the sin of pride, you won't yield to God. He's angry. He's bitter towards God. So he turns to a false god, which is Beelzebub, in order to experience, to get something of what I would say a mystic word of what is going to happen to his life. I've experienced people who are bitter at their end of their lives, and it's as if hell is in them. They don't even want to know care to get a spoken word about God, and they're even in their last rites, their last moments. They want to have nothing to do with him. I had a funeral like that, and I was asked to talk about God just a little bit, not too much. I was informed by them that I would be honored to do the funeral, and I would respect the person who had passed away. But I said this, I will be obedient to the Holy Spirit's direction. In moments like that, I fear God far more than I fear men. It's an opportunity in which always I look at ways to extend the gospel message. But it always surprises me that even in a person's, in their lostness of their lives, one who's deceased and even family there, of how the lostness continues and they don't want to look for hope or inspiration in moments of darkness. But Uzziah goes after Elijah. Matter of fact, he sends a captain with 50 other soldiers. They go after Elijah. And I can only imagine, and they meet up with him, 51 men against Elijah. Now, don't you find it interesting? What is Elijah doing? He's sitting on top of a hill. In my mind, he's looking up to the sky. He's waiting patiently. He knows that they're coming, but he has no fear inside him. He's not running. And they even call him, hey, man of God, we command you to come down. And I'm sitting there thinking, command him? I believe that Elijah knew no other command that would pull him off that hill unless God himself to come down. But what does Elijah do? He says, if I'm a man of God, bring the fire. I've seen it happen before, and God can do it again. And the fire fell on the men and consumed them in the fire. You would think by that moment that there would be something that would change in the shifting in King Uzziah's life. But nope, nah, he doesn't. He's still as hard-hearted as he ever was. He sends another 50 men and another captain to their death. The same amount of guys go and they say the same exact things to Elijah and commands him to come down. And again, Elijah calls up to the heavens, if I'm truly the man of God that you say that I am, the fire will come from the heavens. We have two episodes of fiery judgment, and still pride is in the way of Uzziah. He still is not getting it. And we now have 102 men dead, consumed by fire. Even the captains and the men allow pride to control them. Not obedience, but pride, not obedient to God himself, and they get killed. See, God's judgment has something in our own lives. If we're not, the pride of life will take every man and woman to destruction. We don't like to see that, and they will send us to the fiery gates of hell itself. And we don't like to talk about things like that, do we? We want to say that we got this loving God, and he's all gentle and all this. But folks, I want to tell you something. My Bible says, my Bible tells us that there is judgment with sin, and the consequences will be paid. Those men suffered a fiery death in the physical sense, but there is a fiery death that is coming for those who are not obedient to Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to realize the obedience to God, and God calls unto his own. But let's continue this morning again with point number three, the sin of disobedience. As we continue, if you're home and you got your Bibles open, we're looking at verse 13. And this is what the word of the Lord says. Once more, the king sent a third captain with the 50 men. But this time the captain went up to the hill, and he fell to his knees before Elijah. He pleaded with him, "O man of God, please spare my life and these lives of the other 50 servants. See how the fire from heaven came down and destroyed the first two groups? But now, please spare my life." Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him and don't be afraid of him." So Elijah got up and went with him to the king. And Elijah said to the king, "This is what the Lord says. Why did you send messengers to Beelzebub to go to Ekron to ask whether you will recover? Is there no God in Israel to answer your question? Therefore, because you have done this, you will never leave this bed you are lying on, and you will surely die." So Uzziah, he died, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Since Uzziah did not have a son to succeed him, his brother Joram became the next king. This took place in the second year of the reign of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now, these are some important things as we see such difference between the two groups of the original men compared to the third group. And we see a change from the third captain. The third captain knows that the two captains before him have passed. They've been consumed by fire, and 102 men are now gone. So he knows the power of God himself. And I love this because you see you see almost a repentant of heart in front of this captain as he goes to Elijah. It says he pleads with him, but he pleads with him on his knees. And he calls him the man of God. And he also asks, "Please spare our lives." Not only his own life, but the men that were with him. See, you see such a humility, and you see a change of demeanor. You see a change of things that are going on. And this captain and these men, they get it. They realize that there is a God that is greater than the God of Baal, the God of Beelzebub, that there is only one true God, because the God of Beelzebub, the God of Baal, never sends fire from the sky. Only God himself, who is the creator of all creation, who created our earth, is the one who sends down fire. Now, today we don't see that, do we? We don't see fires that come down actually from heaven. But we do see fires that go on throughout different parts of the world itself. Much like the fires that we've experienced as we watch television, to even today, the fires that are going on in California. They're tragic. They're consuming. They consume thousands of acres of forestry and also two of residential land. People have lost their homes, all due to fires. I can remember a period of time when I lived in Estes Park, and there was actually a fire that was south of the Rocky Mountain National Park, down in the what I would call in the areas of the mountains that were headed down toward the foothills. And I remember the devastation that I saw in the fires, and we had warnings even of where we lived in Estes Park of the potential of fire as if the winds would ever shift. But the devastation with the fire as it roared through, it cleaned land right off. It cleaned the trees and the destruction, and it was like a mighty force, and it destroyed everything in its path. And that's exactly what was going on as the fires came down from heaven, as the fires destroyed everything in its path. And folks, we got to realize again that there is a coming judgment. And it's important for us to realize that the importance of forgiving and to humble ourselves before God himself and make ready. But I love it again as we go forward and God spares these men. They're humble. And that's what kind of a God, that's a loving God. That's the loving God that we serve. Those that humble themselves and come with a repentant heart. And that's the key to all things and the key to salvation. That's a way of turning our hard-heartedness as we give back our idolatry, our pride, and also to our disobedience. And that's key for us even today, that we come back to Christ himself and ask forgiveness of those areas of our lives so he can be our Savior. And I love that. And as we go on a little bit further, we see that God now, he confronts King Uzziah. They have a face-to-face encounter. It's now one man to another man. And and Elijah is standing over the bed of King Uzziah. And even then, King Uzziah knows what has happened to 102 of his men. Fire fell from heaven, and yet he's still unrepentant. He still does not think Elijah, the man from Tishbe, has no power. But without it, Elijah, he comes and he confronts him bold-faced, stands in front of him and declares exactly what the Lord, "Because you would not humble yourself, this is what's going to happen to you, King Uzziah. You will never, ever leave your bed. Matter of fact, you are going to die here." And King Uzziah's reign was only for 2 years. It was a short amount of time after his father, and obviously his brother took over as King Joram after that. But it says that King Uzziah was every bit, if not as much, if not more, of a wicked king as his father and the predecessors before him, and unwilling to come back to God himself. Can't you see the strongholds that's going on as the mother, Jezebel, and the spirit that's there, the demonic spirit, and how controlling it was, and even to the point it controlled in such a way that she lost her sons, her own life, and all those things tragically. And King Ahab, in my mind, could have turned his heart and came back to God himself, but he chose not to. I think of King Hezekiah as he was going, he was about to die, and he cries out to the Lord. And God hears his cries in humility and grants him more years of life. You know, folks, we serve a God who gives us life eternal, but also to life on this earth. And I'm so, in my own mind, so looking to what God does. We all have moments of when we make mistakes. I've had moments in my own life of where I have been disappointed, and I know I've disappointed God in my actions and my attitudes. And it's always through the Holy Spirit that prompts me to realize that I need to come before God and ask for forgiveness of my own sins, my own idolatry, my own pride, my own disobedience. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're as you're traveling, or maybe you're on your way to church, or maybe you're sitting home today. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your life. Maybe there's some pride issues that you're struggling with. Maybe there's some idolatry. You've let some things creep into your life, become more important than God himself. And maybe it's just simply disobedience. I believe today, folks, that today is the day of salvation, just like it was with Elijah. But see, today we have the Holy Spirit who comes from Jesus himself that prompts us to come back to him. He woos us back. He's calling us back to his own. And maybe that's you today. Today can be the day that you can simply ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Maybe you just need to get back right with Jesus himself, a restitution. Or maybe you've never truly asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Today can be that day. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, again, we want to thank you for today, another day of an opportunity to serve you. Jesus, I know that maybe there's people who are listening to me even today that might be asking themselves, I have sinned against you, and I need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe they've been Christian, and they've walked, but they've allowed life itself to make them hard-hearted, unwilling to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them. But today, the Holy Spirit is speaking. I pray, Lord, that you hear their prayers, that they're coming back and they're asking for forgiveness of their sins. Or maybe there's that person that's out there today that's never asked you to be their Savior. It's simply by asking, Jesus, I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me. Will you forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and make me a new creation in you today? And I believe that you are my Savior, and I will serve you for the rest of my days. We praise you, and we thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, it's been good on this series about followership as we learn about Elijah and these different kings. But next week, I'm excited about this next teaching as we look as Elijah is taken to heaven. Only two men did not see death on this earth. It was Enoch and Elijah. Elijah is taken up in a fiery chariot back to heaven. We're going to look at that story and see how it applies today as we make ready for our King, as we take the time to celebrate, as Christmas is soon coming. But he has come once, and he's coming again. I want to thank you for being with us today. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.